Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. This is written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, you will have life by the power of His name. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God.
Good morning, everybody. Man, that's an awesome video, and it kind of lays the foundation for where we're going to go this morning. But before we get into the message this morning, I just think we've entered into a whole new day here. What happened here this morning around the altars, that is so fresh and so new. I'm so excited about what was imparted today to our young people. I just believe it's moments like these that are they change. They change the direction we're headed in. They're filled with destiny. It probably in a service not quite like this. I was from a small church, but it was just coming to church, you know, and getting ready just to go through the motions. And then God showed up with a missionary and had a special word. And it was in a service like that I received the call of God. And I just really believe today that as young people, you were brought to the front. And you had that opportunity to be exposed to the Holy Spirit. I believe that God is calling a number of you today, certainly into the ministry. And when I say ministry, that does not necessarily mean the pulpit ministry, although it may include that. And so I just really want to affirm what God is doing. I think last Sunday night, as we were here in the service at our prayer summit, it was a defining moment. I believe that there was something that was broken Sunday night. That it just cracked open maybe some of the things that were holding us back. And as we entered into that service, people started flocking to the altar. People started experiencing and breakthroughs. So I just really want to affirm that again before I get into my assignment this morning. I think of a verse. This is a verse that Pastor Chad and Pastor Melissa had given to us as a staff, and he's probably already mentioned it in different ways, but I want to repeat it again because I think it's a good reminder for us today to understand the word for this season. And it's found over in Isaiah 43 and verse 19, and this is out of the New Living Translation. It says, "For I am about to do something new." We are experiencing that this morning. God is about to do something new. And Isaiah says, "See, I have already begun." And it's true. Whatever God is doing, he's already been moving, and we're just catching up with him. "Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." So that's one of the verses that we're camping on this, and one of the verses that we're hanging on to is as we understand that word for this year. Also, I want to share a scripture that I read and that I just kind of spend time meditating on every day. And it's a scripture that's found over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, and then also 16 and 17. And it says this: "We now have this light shining in our hearts," referring to our relationship with Jesus Christ, "but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. And we're already heard a lot about that today. And that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being, and here's the word that I cling to. I could say that very often I experience what the scripture means. I don't every day, but most often I do. And it says this, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying or getting old, our spirits are being renewed day by day. And that is something that I experienced. I've experienced it this morning. One of my dear brothers is not able to be with us. He's just getting up there in his age. And every time we meet together, this is the scripture we say together. We are being renewed day by day. And yeah, he's getting old on the outside, but I can tell you inwardly, his spirit is new and it's fresh every day. It's newer now than it ever was. And so today we want to just affirm over and over again that God is doing a new work in our midst, and that God wants to renew us day by day. And so today I just really want you to be encouraged that God wants everyone in this room to experience the renewing work of the Holy Spirit. Today my assignment is to lay a foundation for a new series that we are entering into as a congregation. And as you saw in the bumper video, we are going to be in a series that's based on the book of John. And so as we enter into this series, we felt that it's very important that you understand the significance of John's gospel and how it pertains to us. And so Pastor Chad, in the next several weeks, will be speaking to us on the gospel of John. There will be passages of scripture that he will be addressing. And so we'll walk through the whole book of John, and we're not sure how long it's going to take, but we want to be sensitive because this is the direction that Pastor Chad, number one, feels that we need to go, and we affirm it as staff. So today's message is called The Beginning. The Beginning. We're going to be looking at John chapter 1, so if you have your Bible or have your device, look at it, get it ready. So John chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 18. And the main point of this message will be an introduction to Jesus and his grace. Jesus and his grace. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But we want to let you know that we are trying to do some deeper research. We're trying to drill down on these passages of scripture that we're going to be sharing with you. And I thought it would be of significance to you to realize that as you are familiar with the Word of God, we have the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the first four books of the New Testament are called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Bible college, they taught us that the first four Gospels, or the first four books of the New Testament, were called Synoptic Gospels, and that doesn't mean a whole lot to you unless you've been studying the Word of God and you've been a student of New Testament scriptures and so forth. And the Synoptic Gospels simply meant that it was a synopsis of Jesus' life. And so they're, they tell us the story about Jesus, they tell us about his birth and so forth. And I wanted to share just a quote that I received that describes the Synoptic Gospels. And then I want to take just a moment to help you understand the difference between John and the other three Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So this first quote helps us understand what synoptic means. The four Gospels accepted into the canon. And once again, that's a term that really requires a more explanation of the canon of Scripture. And sometime maybe we'll speak on that. But the canon of Scripture was that rule of thumb that the ancient fathers, that they adhered to, that they believed this was the criteria for why the books we have in the Bible today and why they are the inspired Word of God. So the four Gospels accepted into the canon explain that Jesus was born in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph, raised in Nazareth as the son of a carpenter, and began his public ministry around 30 AD. Jesus raised the dead, healed the sick, cast out demons, assembled a team of disciples, and taught with authority. Many came to believe in Jesus as God's son, and others did not. Ultimately, Jesus was arrested, tried, and crucified on a Roman cross, only to be raised from the grave. Because the four gospel writers put their lives on the line to spread the good news of Jesus, we too can be confident in the account of his life and why it matters to the world. So the conviction that was there for the writers of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want to talk to you now about the uniqueness of the Gospel of John. And you say, well, isn't John just going to repeat what Matthew, Mark, and Luke talked about? In some ways. But there's a different approach that you need to pick up on early as we get into the Gospel of John. The uniqueness of John's Gospel, in short, is this. The synoptics set out, referring now in this context of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptics set out to tell us that Jesus is God. That Jesus is God. John, where we're going to be camping now for the next several weeks, John, by contrast, sets out by telling us that this God became Jesus. All right, so they were talking about Jesus is God. Now we are going to take a look at this God became Jesus. As Warfield comments, a theologian, the fundamental purpose of John's prologue is simply to account for Jesus. From the outset, John wants us to know that the words and deeds of this man, Jesus, are in fact the words and deeds of God. And so we observe his miracles. We should not be surprised. He is, after all, God in human flesh. When we hear him speak, we must bear firmly in mind that here we learn from God. From the outset, as you read John's gospel, John wants you to keep in mind that this man is like no other. Jesus is God placing himself on display. What a tremendous quote. But I hope that you get the difference. Where in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're talking about this Jesus is God. But in John, his emphasis, this God became Jesus. So keep that in mind as we look into this series. So we're going to take a look at, and first, our first point is found, it's going to be based on the first scriptures, and it's the Trinity in Genesis. And take a look at it. I want you, this is a unique passage of scripture here, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And if you have the New Living Translation, it probably will help you understand what I'm going to say in the next few moments. So I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation. But this is all talking about the Trinity, or the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we're involved in creation, and that God is Jesus. And so that makes sense that John's going to start his gospel by making it clear, hey, Jesus was right there in the very beginning, and he'll describe it. So let me read it. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Get it? The Word. Now, you follow closely. As John has a literary talent, and many times you and I just say, well, he's a writer, he was a gospel follower of Jesus. But you find that as you understand scriptures, you find that there was a literary style. Some of these authors were very talented. And one of the gifts that John had as he writes, you're going to discover he has a particular way of writing the first six verses of this chapter. So he goes on and says, in the beginning, the Word. And he uses the word which means logos, which was another word that this was Jesus. And so John is saying, in the beginning, the Word already existed. So if you really want to understand this passage, just insert the word Jesus every time you hear that, W-O-R-D. And the Word was with God. And the Word, get it now, was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. Are you following? The Word gave life to everything that was created. God was Jesus. Jesus was there in the beginning. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Thank God for that. There's a supporting scripture that Paul authors as well, and I want to share it, and it just supports what I just read. So Paul says over in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Once again, reading from the New Living Translation. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. This is what John is going to establish throughout his writings. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. And Paul goes on to say, for through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. I like what Paul says. Once again, he supports John. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. So an observation that I make as I look at these scriptures is that as John begins the fourth gospel, he uses a poem. He uses a poem to articulate Christ's existence as part of the triune God. So what you just, you follow along as I was reading this, those first few verses of John's gospel were actually a poem. So turn to your neighbor and say to them, John was a poet. John was a poet, okay? All right, that's good. I'm just trying to keep you with me. I don't want you to fall asleep on me, all right? I want to find out who that person was that has a low heartbeat. Maybe they fell asleep when I was pastoring. Okay. All right. John establishes the truth that Jesus was not only God, but God was Jesus in flesh. John in his gospel focuses on the words and acts of Christ because they were indeed the words and acts of God through God incarnate. We're going to hear this over and over again in the weeks to come. We're going to be able to appreciate that here, God incarnate through Jesus Christ, the God-man. And we're going to hear him speak and we're going to see him do miracles and all these kind of things, which all point back that Jesus indeed was God. God was Jesus Christ. So interestingly, although John would have heard all the parables, and this is a distinction for you Bible scholars, interestingly, although John would have heard all the parables of Jesus, he has chosen not to include them in his writing because that was not his purpose or divine mandate. So in other words, so what you'll see a distinction here as we're just laying a foundation. In the Gospel of John, you won't see parables. You'll hear the stories. And Jesus will talk about being the shepherd and about being the door and being the bread of life and those kind of things. But in the Gospel of John, you don't see parables. And that wasn't because it wasn't his mandate. His mandate was to just articulate over and over again that God was Jesus. And Jesus was in flesh making God aware to us. So in point number two, I want to talk to you a little bit about John the Baptist. So point number two in John the Baptist, it says in verses 6 through 9, and I'll read them. So after this poem that John has articulated, then he talks about John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is not John, the writer of the Gospel of John. So try to keep that separate, so we'll try to help you out with that. So John the Baptist, and it says this in verse 6, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So the observation or a review on John's life, John was the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And so that made John the Baptist the cousin of Jesus. And you'll see how that comes together. And if you recall, John's birth was supernatural because Zechariah and Elizabeth were old and beyond childbearing when Elizabeth became pregnant. It was just a supernatural thing. So in Luke chapter 1, and I'll just kind of give you that brief overview, a few days later, this was after Elizabeth now was pregnant, Mary now the mother of Jesus, and she has now become impregnated because of the Holy Spirit, and thus the Virgin Mary. So a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greetings, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So you see the connection. So John the Baptist then was the cousin, as they were, you get the biological connection here. At some point, which is not abundantly clear to us, John the Baptist understood his prophetic role in God's divine plan. At some point, we're not exactly sure in Scripture when it was that John realized, hey, God has given me a special role here to announce the coming of the Son of God, this the coming of the light. Is my role is to declare the Lamb of God who takes away the sin from the world. So John the Baptist understood his prophetic role. He would be a forerunner, a voice crying in the wilderness. So in the next few verses, the author of John's gospel describes how God, the Christ, came into the world he had created and was rejected by his own people. So over in John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, it says this: he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. Can you just try to think that thing through? The creator of the world. He comes into the world, and the scripture makes it quite clear that as he comes into the world did not recognize him. The one that made it happen, the one that gave them the existence, the freedom to live, they didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are born not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Observation in verses 12 and 13, we are astounded as we discover that all of us can experience the right to become the children of God. And this is good news for everyone in the room today. As he makes it quite clear, he says that he gave us the right to become the children of God. So today, you and I have this privilege as we sit here in this auditorium, and I can say this, I could say this to any church that I would be speaking into this morning, but because I'm speaking here, I speak specifically to those that are here in Bethel, that everyone here present today has the right to become the children of God because of Christ, because of his intervention on our behalf. So in verses 14 through 15, we read these scriptures. So the Word became human and made his home among us. Once again, referring to Jesus Christ. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Try to grasp it a little bit today, but man, in the weeks to come, we're going to get to see this over and over again. That this one Jesus, God in flesh, who comes and shows us his unfailing love and his faithfulness, we're going to get to see his glory and the glory of the Father and the one and only Son. And just John testified him. John testified about him. John the Baptist testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me." John fully understood that God was Jesus when he says, "For he existed long before me." So John, the gospel writer, inspired by God early on in his writings, establishes the truth that Jesus was, is, and shall ever be. But there's one more thing that we must do. And John is going to go and just start to give us the intro of a theme that we'll hear over and over again. And my point number three this morning is this, that you and I, it's good for us to know about Jesus, but more importantly, we must receive Jesus into our lives. We must, more importantly, receive what John's going to refer to is his grace. And we'll articulate, and you're going to find that grace and Jesus are the same thing today. But I think this is probably the main point of this message today, is that we have the privilege today to receive his grace. Today, we need to receive his grace. Today, once again, God's grace knocks on your door of the heart, of your heart, and is knocking and desires to enter into your space today. John chapter 1, 16 through 18, it says this, from his abundance, we all have received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. So I observe, it is not good enough to know who Jesus is. We must receive him into our lives by faith. And the only reason we can receive Christ in our hearts is because of his grace. His grace, over and again, we'll hear it, we'll see it again and again this morning. The only reason that we can receive Christ into our hearts is because of his grace. John points out, just very, very briefly, he makes reference to the Old Testament, and you need to do your own research yourself, and you need to go back to the Old Testament, and when he talks about the law of Moses. And John's point in this just this couple of verses is that the law of Moses was inadequate. And some of you are in a Bible reading plan, and some of you have joined with me and some others, and we're just plowing through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, and we're becoming familiar once again with the law of Moses and how it served its purpose. But the bottom line was that the law of Moses was inadequate. It required animals and sacrifices and rituals and priests, and it was never going to be enough. But because of grace, and this was an acrostic that's been around for years. But let me share it with you once again. That grace, G-R-A-C-E, stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. Let me say that again, because that really helps you understand what grace is all about. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. And because of that, we can experience the divine flow of his grace. So in this series, we will embark on a journey, a new understanding of receiving and exhibiting grace. Our world this morning, our world is hurting, and our world is often confused. We still have wars and rumors of wars. We still have all kinds that we have systems of all kinds that are struggling or broken. Whether it be social assistance, whether it be medical services, whether it be mental health, whether it be education, whether it be correctional services, just to name a few. And this morning, people, please realize that all of these are parts of our society. These are part of our world, and there are many good people that are behind these systems that are trying to make them work. But the bottom line is that all of these systems need God's grace. They all need God's grace because there's something lacking. There's something that they're just not able to pull it off. And there's all kinds of things that happen, and there's all kinds of differences of opinion. But the one thing that is lacking in a broken system is the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Man tries, and we have people that are doing their best to do it. But the bottom line is we can only do so much, and that is where the grace of God comes in. And that's why today we want to introduce you to a fresh, once again, understanding of God's grace that is available to each and every one of you today. Perhaps today, your world needs to receive grace. Perhaps today your world needs to receive grace, which is offered freely through Christ. So I'm not talking just about the structure of our community today. I want to talk to you about your family. I know this applies to my family. So perhaps today, in your family, there is dysfunction. Perhaps today, in your family, there is brokenness. Perhaps today, there is disappointment in your family. Perhaps today, there are health concerns that you have personally or in your family. And the list can go on, and there are a myriad of other things. And all of these things that we mentioned this morning, whether it be dysfunction, brokenness, disappointment, health concerns, you name it, today, and you know, today, you experience it today. All of us today, most of us today, somehow, some way, are experiencing one of these things, if not all of these things in our life. And so today, the grace of Christ is what makes the difference. Whether you need to receive grace or be a conduit of grace, God's grace through Christ is always more than enough. That's what I like, being confronted by my human frailty. That's what I like when I see my human shortcomings, when I realize I am coming up on the short end of the stick, when I realize that things are not working out as they should. That is when I am reminded of how much I need God's grace in my life. That is how much, and that's why God brings us to the moment. It's a new day. Believe me, it's a new day. It may be a familiar truth to you, but I want you to know it's a new day. It's a new day, and that perhaps today you need to hear once again that as you're walking along and you're going on, you're just hoping that things will get better, and you're wondering when they will ever get better. But you need to know that until they do, that God's answer for you is God's grace. God's answer for you today is He wants to infuse you once again with a fresh flow of the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. And so today, I just really want to encourage you that as you hear that God has a fresh flow, a new flow of His grace for you today, and today will you receive it? Today will you take that step of faith today and allow His grace to come into your life? So whether you need to receive grace, and today you may be in that point where you can be on the other side. I can tell you right now, you're going to be in one of these categories, either to receive grace or be a conduit of grace. God's grace through Christ is always more than enough. Our world, my world, your world needs to experience fresh grace of Christ flowing through us as His body. This series of John will introduce us afresh to the grace of Christ. This series will confront all of our need to experience His grace. We will all need to experience His grace, especially the grace of Christ coming into the do not enter spaces of our lives. Some of us have held Christ out. I can't. I won't. I don't. And today I want to encourage you that God's grace wants to come into those areas of our life, maybe because of hurts, maybe because of disappointments. We have said, no, he can't come in there. Do not enter. Do not enter, but I want you to know today that God's grace wants to come into every area of our life. We sang this song, we've been set free, and I want you to know that God's grace sets us free. Sets us free through Jesus Christ. So this series will confront all of our need to experience His grace. So today, I'm asking Pastor Jim to come at this time. And Pastor Jim is going to come, and he's going to serve or lead us in communion, and then I'm going to come back and I'll conclude our service together, And so prepare yourselves by receiving the communion. Get your cups ready so that you can participate in this time of communion. Thank you, Pastor Jim. Asking for the prayer team to come up and fill our altars, and we want to make a time of prayer available to everyone. I want to conclude just by saying that Christ is grace and grace is Christ. And today, for those that say, I can't, and there are those moments we get, I just can't do it. I can't do it anymore. Today, I want you to know that God's grace says you can. I want you to know today that there maybe you've gotten to the point where you've really dug your heels and said, I just won't. I just won't do it. But I want you to know today that God's grace says, I will. God's grace generally says, I will. And finally, you may have said, I don't. I don't. I will not do that. I do not do that. But God's will, God's grace says, I will. I will do. So today, whatever you're lacking, whatever you're hoping for, I want you to know that it is God's grace today available to you to take that other step. It's God's grace that makes up the difference. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you today for this time together. Thank you, Father, for what you did around our altars. Thank you, Father, for the worship. Thank you, Father, for a new day that you've given to us. Thank you, Father, for your grace that is incredible, incredible for us. It is made available through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, today, as we embark upon this journey together in the book of John, and as we discover, Lord, we thank you once again that the privilege we have today, the enjoyment that we have today, and the assurance that we have today in knowing is this, that your grace is sufficient for us. So, Lord, we go with that ringing in our hearts, that your grace is sufficient for us. And we give you praise and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. For those that would just like some prayer and for grace to be added, take your time and come to the front.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.